Good morning, sisters. It is a pleasure to be with you today. We love coming to the Bridgerland Park First Ward, and we love the spirit that is here. And while it may look like we all received a memo that said wear something purple, our presidency, we really didn't. Sister Strickland may show up, but I kind of expect she might wear something purple if she comes through the door. My name is Laurel Simmons, and I'm a counselor in the Stake Relief Society presidency, and I belong to the Fourth Ward, and so it's nice to be here today. As a Relief Society presidency, we have felt a need to discuss ministering, sisterhood, and visiting teaching, which really is the heart of the Relief Society. And President Eyring has said this of Relief Society and visiting teaching. He says, the only system which could provide succor and comfort across a church so large in a world so varied would be through individual servants near the people in need. So first let's talk about ministering. How would you define to minister? What does it mean to you when you hear that you're going to minister to someone? What words do you think of?
Service. Care.
Okay, thank you. Service and care.
Nurturing.
Okay, thank you.
Empathy.
Thank you. Yes.
Passion.
Okay.
Mentoring.
Okay. Is there anybody else?
How about commiserate?
Commiserate. I hope I spell that right. When I get up in front of everybody. Is it C-O-M-M-I-S?
Sure, that sounds okay. Great.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, does that look right?
Okay. Action.
Thank you. Yes, I agree with all of those things. To me, it's to comfort someone, to nurture someone, to give aid and service. If you have your scriptures, would you look up Acts 26:16? And if there's someone that's comfortable reading that aloud, if you just raise your hand and I'll call on you after I see that everybody that has it. Oh, Acts 26:16. Is there anyone that would like to read it aloud? Okay, yes. Go ahead.
But rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee.
Okay, thank you. I neglected to tell you the background of this scripture. This is when Paul is testifying before King Agrippa, and he's telling about the time that he had been kind of teaching against Christianity, and the Lord appeared to him while on the road to Damascus. And he tells him that the Lord tells him, this is a lot like, it reminds me a lot of Alma the Younger, when he receives his conversion, I'm not saying it quite right, but you know what I mean. When he's told, and the sons of Mosiah are told, you're doing what's wrong, and I need you to work with me and preach the true gospel. And anyway, he says in there that I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of these things which thou hast seen. So I interpret the scripture this way, is that when you minister to another, you are a witness of Jesus Christ, and you are a disciple also of Jesus Christ. You're a witness to and a disciple of Jesus Christ. Does anybody else read that differently or have something that they would feel comfortable sharing about how they relate to that scripture? Okay. That's okay. That's okay that nobody said anything. I'm good with that. As long as you're thinking about it. In the October 2011 General Conference, then Relief Society President Sister Julie Bebeck, she said, "Throughout the years, Relief Society sisters and leaders have learned one step at a time and improved in their ability to watch over others. There have been times when sisters have focused more on completing their visits and teaching lessons and leaving notices when they have stopped by. These practices have helped sisters learn patterns of watch care." That's kind of become, I haven't heard that word used that much in past years, but in the last year I've heard it quite a bit, watch care. And I think that watch care is ministering. It requires us, watch care and ministering requires us to be in tune with the Spirit and to listen to personal revelation from the Lord regarding the sisters that we tend to and that we minister to. I think it watch care and ministering, it encourages us. We need to kind of hone our skills in the personal revelation department to be better at it. So we're not just checking off a list. We should be thinking of ministering to one another as an ongoing thing. Now I want to talk a little bit about sisterhood. When I think of sisterhood, one word in particular comes to me. I'll write it right here. You see that? Trust. Trust is, to me, and I'm sure to all of you, trust is a huge deal. Being able to trust someone means a lot when you trust somebody. And to have someone trust you, that's so important. And sadly, I think in today's world, it's a concern to me that trust is not considered the virtue that I believe that it once was. And I think, I don't know, I just, it's a concern. It doesn't seem to be as valuable. People don't seem to value it as much as they used to. Think of a person that you trust implicitly. And I know we all have someone that we really, really trust. It may be a spouse or a dear friend or another family member. Chances are they're one of the most important people in your life. Would you agree with that? Okay. I looked up trust, and the dictionary defines it as reliance on the integrity, strength, and or ability of a person or thing. And the second way that it describes it is, or defines it, is confident expectation of something. It's hope. So today, as we talk about sisterhood and then we move on to visiting teaching, I'm speaking of the Lord's trust in us and of the trust we wish to inspire in those that we serve. In Alma 17:11, it says, we read, "Yet ye shall be patient in long suffering and afflictions, that ye may," and this is really important, "show forth good examples unto them in me, and I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls." I love that scripture. I love the idea and the thought of being an instrument in the hands of God. And it says here that we will bring souls to salvation if we allow the Lord to do that for us. And we're willing. When we have a testimony and we're baptized, we covenant that we're willing to mourn with those that mourn and comfort those that stand in need of comfort. The Lord trusts us to honor that and to take care of and serve one another. And it is vital that we understand the significance of that. I want to show some. Do any of you have a handheld mirror at home? Okay. I use mine to see the back of my hair in the other mirror, you know. Anyway, mirrors like this, they usually have the regular side, and then they have the dreaded magnifying side, right? And the magnifying side is, you know, it shows everything. Every wrinkle, blemish, skin discoloration, everything. And so for that reason, I rarely look at mine. And I wouldn't recommend it either, because we don't need to see all that, and nobody really gets up that close anyway. So if you learn nothing else today, it's don't look at the magnifying side of your mirror very often. And of course, right now, I'm speaking of our physical attributes, but I want to kind of do this metaphorically, is that we all have our flaws. We all have our personality flaws. We have our quirks. And we have things that have happened to us as we've gone through life. And we all have those things. Okay, so I'll come back to the mirror in a minute. When I was here last year, I spoke in your sacrament meeting, and I used this illustration, and I hope that you'll allow me to use this again. We have a tradition for family vacations in our family. If the circumstances allow, we love to put together a puzzle. And this gets everybody around the table. We're not watching TV. We're talking and we're working together. And it's a lot of fun. And so if you'll allow me this analogy, I think that we are all puzzles. We all have certain pieces that make us who and what we are. We're made up of physical and our personality traits. And then our lives are made up of events. And some of them are very, very happy. And some of them are heartrending. And they're sad. And these are the things that I think make us who we are. And I think it's also part of the Lord's plan for us. How would you start a puzzle? When you get a 100-piece puzzle and they dump it in front of you, how do you begin?
The corners and the edges, you have to have an outline.
Okay. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, the corners and the edges. You build the frame first. You turn all the pieces over, and then you separate. You put the corners and the edges on one area, and then you start to build your frame. And so I'd like you to consider, in this analogy, that the gospel and ministering to one another is the frame. Okay? And then as a disciple of Christ, and as a visiting teacher or a church leader, you need to start putting those pieces together. And that takes a lot of patience, and it takes dedication, and it takes time. Too. And with that in mind, it's important to note too that we can never force a piece of a puzzle into a spot where it doesn't belong. And so as we minister with one another, we have to realize that those pieces will share those pieces with you in time. Does that make sense? Am I kind of explaining myself well enough? And I have a story that I want to tell you about that. When they sense that you're trustworthy and that when you're sincere, they will share that with you. And we hear sisters say, I just don't feel like I'm making a difference when I visit teach. She doesn't want me to come in. She doesn't invite me to sit down. But I really believe that with patience that you can get there, and I have a really good story that happened to me. But anyway, in other words, back to the mirror, they'll show you the more magnified side of them. As soon as they feel like they can trust you. Several years ago, before my youngest son was called to go home teaching with his dad, my husband and I, we kind of did our home and visiting teaching together. I went with him and we gave a home teaching message, and then this woman that we were assigned to, had two other sisters visit teach her. But, so my husband and I were companions, and we were assigned a widow that she was recently widowed. She'd lost her husband within the year, and she was new to Cache Valley. And she was extremely guarded. I think I may have shared this too in your sacrament meeting. But she was very guarded. And quite frankly, she didn't really seem excited to have us come. She um, our conversations were very, very brief. And when I called and would schedule an appointment with her, she always wanted to, she didn't want us to come like the next day. She always wanted us to wait a few days. She just was very organized and kind of inflexible that way. And so our time together was short. It was always very brief and it was awkward. And she rarely spoke about herself and she rarely asked questions about us. And we would ask questions about her and we hoped it would spark a conversation, but it just didn't in the early months. So anyway, we always shared a gospel message and asked her what we could do, and we always said a prayer. Well, anyway, as time went on, she relaxed and she warmed to us. But it took several months. I would say it probably took maybe 5 or 6 months. And but she began sharing pieces of her puzzle. And I remember, we knew she had a very bad back and that it was uncomfortable for her. And I could remember that I could tell her level of pain when I called her. I could always tell her level of pain that day by the tone in her voice. So there's a puzzle piece. And then, surprisingly, when we would ask, can we do something for you? She'd say, well, I do need a light bulb changed. Could you do that for me? Well, of course, you know. Or can you get something off my high storage shelf? And so we would do that for her. And so another puzzle piece. And then, totally to our surprise, 1 month, she hugged us both before we left. And by this time, this puzzle is starting to look like something. And she would start to talk about her daughters, and she started to ask about our sons. But the day that I will never forget is when she said, I want to show you something. And she went to her bedroom, and she got a box, and she put it on my husband's lap, and she opened it up. And in that box were her husband's military medals. And on top was his Purple Heart and his prisoner of war emblem. And out came, I mean, the puzzle pieces, it was like they just fell into place for us. And she talked about her husband and how he was a prisoner of war for 2 years. And she was so proud of him. And it was just so, so neat to see that. And I remember, I didn't realize at the time, but now I do, that that day I think we really gained her trust. That's what she was saying to us. I trust you. And we did it just month by month, little by little, just visit by visit. And we went home and we told our sons about this box. And so the next month they said, can we go? We want to see. And so we did. They thought it was really, really cool that they could actually see that. Anyway, while under our watch care, she received her patriarchal blessing. She was nearly 90 years old, and she'd never had a patriarchal blessing. And so we told her what we needed to do and how to contact Patriarch Perry. And then she got her temple endowment, and we went. And I'll never forget the tearful message her daughter left on our phone machine when she called to tell us the date and the time of the session. And she just, her daughters were active in the church and both endowed. And she just said, thank you for sticking with my mom. It really means a lot to us. And she passed away unexpectedly 4 months later. I will never forget her. And I understand that not all visiting teaching experiences end this way. But our steady and faithful care, whether or not we feel rewarded at the time, it shows your devotion to the Savior. Our theme for this year is Matthew 25, verse 40. But I'd like to read, have someone read aloud, if they would, Matthew 25, 35 through 40. So if you'll go there. Is there anyone that, would you mind reading that? Thank you. It's 35 through 40. the six verses.
For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me, and I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
Okay, thank you. That scripture always reminds me of Mosiah 2:17, about how when you're in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God. We are serving one another, but we are serving our Father in heaven, too. And we are showing our devotion to Him. Sister Torhild is gonna read something for me. I'll have her come up here and read it. This is President Irene, and this was in 1990 at a BYU fireside address.
The name of the address is Waiting Upon the Lord. Now, you have to know a little bit about my father. His name was Henry Eyring, like mine. His work in chemistry was substantial enough to bring him honors, but he was still a member of a ward of the church with his duties to do. To appreciate this story, you have to realize it occurred when he was nearly 80 and had bone cancer. He had bone cancer so badly in his hips that he could hardly move. The pain was great. Dad was the senior high counselor in his stake, with the responsibilities of the welfare farm. An assignment was given to weed a field of onions, so Dad assigned himself to go work on the farm. Dad never told me how hard it was, but I had met several people who were with him that day. I talked to one of them on the phone the other night to check the story. The one I talked to said that he was weeding the row next to Dad through much of the day. He told me the same thing that others who were there that day have told me. He said that the pain was so great that Dad was pulling himself along on his stomach with his elbows. He could not kneel. The pain was too great for him to kneel. Everyone who has talked to me has remarked how Dad smiled and laughed and talked happily with them as they worked on that field of onions. Now, this is the joke Dad told me on himself afterwards. He said he was there at the end of the day. All the work was finished, and the onions were all weeded. And someone asked him, Henry, good heavens, you didn't pull those weeds, did you? Those weeds were sprayed 2 days ago, and they were going to die anyway. Dad just roared. He thought it was the funniest thing. He thought it was a great joke on himself. He had worked through the day on the wrong weeds. They had been sprayed and would have died anyway. When Dad told me his story, I knew how tough it was. So I said to him, Dad, how could you make a joke out of that? How could you take it so pleasantly? He said something to me that I will never forget, and I hope you won't. He said, Hal, I wasn't there for the weeds. Now, you'll be in an onion patch much of your life. So will I. It will be hard to see the powers of heaven magnifying us or our efforts. It may even be hard to see our work being of any value at all. And sometimes our work won't go well. But you didn't come for the weeds. You came for the Savior. And if you pray, and if you choose to be clean, and if you choose to follow God's servant, you will be able to work and wait long enough to bring down the powers of heaven.
Thank you, Sister Shirley. Now, I don't want you to think I'm not likening the weeds to the sisters that you visit to each, okay? I just wanted to share that because I love the part where he said, I wasn't here for the weeds. I came here to show my devotion for the Savior because I love Jesus Christ. That is why we're asked to visit, teach, and to tend to one another. I love the part where he said in here, it will be hard to see the powers of heaven magnifying our efforts. It may be even hard to see our work being of any value at all. And sometimes it's not going to go well. But he said that if you wait long enough, you'll be able to bring down the powers of heaven. And I testify that I know that that is true. And that eventually, and we never know the seeds we plant, what may grow later on. But just remember that we do this for the Savior, because we love him, and because we love one another and our sisters. Thank you for letting us be here today. I have a testimony of the gospel. I know that it's true. And I'm so grateful for the Relief Society program, and want you to know that we love you. And I also want you to know that we recognize that we are standing in a room today with women who have spent their life in service. And there's probably not much that many of you can learn from us, but we can learn so much from you. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.